The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
We're working like heck.
Hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive. This is Bear, alongside Trey Wallace and the Lenoir City Bulldog. Davey Hudson will be sitting in for Russ today. Russ has the day off to take care of some off-the-air business. We're also joined by intern Jake Freckles Lester. So, how we doing today, gentlemen?
Hey, buddy, good to see you.
Good seems to see
like
you
you're
guys.
In a good, seems like you're in a good mood.
Doing well. Glad to be here.
Oh, Davey's in a good mood. I'm not in a good mood.
Why? Why aren't you in a good mood today?
Just not.
What happened? Geno piss you off last night?
No, but we do need to get in there. He needs to shut his mouth.
We are.
He's done the impossible. Geno has pushed me back over to being a hardcore Lady Vols fan.
Oh, wow. So you're going to start tuning in more?
No. Okay. But I'm going to take up for him online.
No, I feel you. No, the comments last night were interesting, and then we play into what's going on today. A bunch of news coming out of Memphis when it comes to James Wiseman. There's interesting news coming out of Columbia, South Carolina right now that South Carolina Board of Trustees members have met with former Gamecock and current AD, seeing if Brad Edwards will be interested in replacing Ray Tanner as the athletic director at USC.
Well, I thought you were about to,
Brad Edwards.
About to make a comment about Will Muschamp, which I'm like, have you seen his contract?
Yeah, no, but I think they
got money. They ain't got that much money down
there. Right now, if they were to fire him at the end of the season, they're looking at paying Will Muschamp $19 million for a buyout.
How the hell did he get a $19 million buyout?
How did Willie Taggart get one? How did Botch Jones get what he got?
Because they have great agents that take advantage of the school.
Jimmy.
I've actually wrote a paper on that, Bear, if you'd like to read it.
No, but okay. You can tell me about it sometime.
It's the Jimmy factor as well.
Oh, for sure.
And that's Trace, what kills me. Why can that jerk not give his alma mater a break?
He takes advantage of everyone.
He's not going to give him a break. I mean, Trace Armstrong represents a good amount of him as well. I think there was a stat. Me and Davey were talking about this outside, and I agree. I looked it up. I think there was a stat at one time he represented 11.
Yeah, 11 out of 14 SEC coaches.
Yeah.
I think that was 2016. It's hard to keep up with, but usually once an SEC coach is fired, they just and it's a Sexton guy, they just replace him with another Sexton guy. So, like, Chad Morris, that's a Sexton guy. Arkansas,
that's how the thing happened in Florida. It happened in Florida. Jim McElwain was – they were literally writing up his exit – content. They're signing off T's, dot nods, whatever.
He made it way too easy on them, Trey.
And then at the same time, he was negotiating Dan Mullen to Florida, which was wild.
Well, before that, though, I mean, a lot of people just thought that Florida was going to be able to get out of not having to pay Jim McElwain.
Well, that's true, yeah.
But Sexton actually got them. I remember talking about
something, but he didn't. He really stuck. He gave him a valid reason to fire him for cause when he made that comment.
For sure, but they still bailed him out with giving him like a $6 million buyout.
Did they give him that much?
They agreed to a settlement, which makes me think that they do that a lot of the times when the coach knows where the bodies are buried and are able to get around those sorts of situations.
But the university and its attorneys still have something they can put to –
They can't do anything now.
For the same reason that Jim could have been fired at Florida with cause, Butch Jones could have been fired with cause at Tennessee.
I don't think
I don't think
Butch was just as flagrant as stupid as to get up at a press conference and say student athletes have received death threats and you haven't notified the Gainesville PD, the FBI, or anybody. And those are all the first two phone calls you have to make. Am I wrong?
You got to do that
in the feds.
And I don't know the exact order in which he would need to do it, but I mean, he didn't run it up the board at all, like, or up the ladder. And I mean, I don't like giving Butch Jones credit, but he was at least smart enough to not do anything that egregious and that stupid.
Besides, hit a couple players and order a code.
But
red.
That's like, I know, like, they said that happened, but like, there was no
proof of that.
Yeah,
yeah, there's no proof. No, I mean, I get that part of
versus
it.
Versus McElwain just being an idiot and going and saying this on national television.
Yeah. And then what was it? It was the last, I don't know how I get on this, whatever, but it was the last weekend. No, it was the weekend of the Georgia Florida game is when he got fired. That day, they had released that they're announcing that they're coming up with a buyout.
Well, McElwain got fired before Butch.
Right. No, but McElwain got fired. It was that weekend, Georgia Florida, down in Jacksonville, at the beginning of November or end of October.
Who did they have replace him for that?
Oh, dang. Who was it? Who did replace him?
I don't know. We're really off in the weeds. This is what happens when the bye week rolls around.
No, I don't even care. This is good story to talk about. We're going to flip this thing back around, though. Butch Jones, there's talk. Stephen Gottfried went on the Midday 180 in Asheville and said that Butch was, you know, technically, I don't know if he didn't say he's a candidate, but his name is being pushed for the Arkansas job, which, whatever. I don't think he gets the Arkansas job. Unless he's willing to go in there and take over a dumpster fire.
Well, on the Midday 180, Godfrey, and this is the quote that was tweeted out, Butch Jones is a guy being considered at Arkansas. It's a name being tossed around by CAA, a.k.a. Jimmy Sexton,
right,
for a guy being, quote-unquote, pushed. He is the only one with actual wins in the SEC.
Could you see him having to go up against Ed Orgeron, Nick Saban every year?
Well, don't even think about that. He'd have to go up against Tennessee next year.
Oh, wait a minute. Never mind. Okay. All right, let's make this happen. Let's get Butch to Arkansas. And that game's in Fayetteville, too, if I'm not mistaken.
It is. And right now, Arkansas, this is just random, but they currently have 6 commits for next year. I think they've already had at least 7 players decommit. And a little East Tennessee tie, 33% of their 6 commits go to West High School right down the street from us.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah.
Francis's
youngest, Jeff's youngest boy is a linebacker, and I cannot
for the life of me. Defensive end.
Remember the other young man's name, but yeah, they've got 2 over there.
I think somebody texted me, it was Randy Shannon who is the head coach.
Ah, that's right. Okay.
When Mac got fired down at Florida. No. So it's going to be an interesting day. We're rolling along here. We're going to have Nick Bromberg join us. We're going to have Aaron Torres join us today. Christopher Smith from my book, he's going to join us. We're going to talk about tonight. You got the Steelers and the Browns. And I kind of just want the Browns just to lose out now and just add to the problems.
It's go time for me, Hudson. I got to win out to make the playoffs in the Station League.
Who you got this week?
Who's your quarterback, Bear?
Aaron Rodgers. That's what screwed me last week. I've had a bunch of injuries. I was trending up.
When Emmanuel Sanders got hurt Monday night.
I have to play Houston. Houston's the only one that's a game behind me, and I'm currently in 4th.
I need you to win.
Okay.
So top 4 getting the playoffs. Okay.
Hopefully Lamar Jackson has a good game.
That makes sense. We're taking your phone calls as well, 865-546-8200. Tennessee got a big game up in Canada on Saturday night. Well, whatever. 5 o'clock Saturday on ESPN Plus. We'll get into that. I'll teach you a way to be able to watch the game. Hopefully the FCC is not listening, and I will tell you exactly how to find that game if you are cheap and don't want to pay the $5 for ESPN Plus.
The 2 Arkansas players commits from West, Drew Francis and Tyrese Edwards.
That's it, Drew.
Dang.
All of their players that decommitted were offense players. They currently only have, of the 6, all 6 are defensive players.
So what's Chief going to do? Do you think he gets another job?
What do you think? You think he retires or you think he just becomes an analyst somewhere?
I don't think Chief's going to be in it. Oh, you mean like an analyst?
A consultant. Consultant, I guess.
I could see him ending up back at UT and with some kind of job working with Fulmer.
An off-field role, yeah, working with Fulmer.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind that one bit.
No, I don't think
he still have a place in East Tennessee?
Oh, yeah. His son lives here. Me and Russell went and watched the Valor fights that
what's that got to do?
Because his kid's a ultimate fighter, yeah. We watched him just off the street, basically. Beat the absolute living snot out of somebody.
How's Chavis been in his career coaching defensive line and outside linebackers?
Yeah, that's a good point. Tennessee might need some gaps filled once it comes to the offseason. I don't know, it'd be an interesting hire.
The players love him, but I don't know. I don't, you know.
It ain't. Look, I don't think it's. I mean, you could point it on the Arkansas defense a good amount this year, but man, when you ain't scoring any points either, you're kind of not bought into the system anymore. It seems to play out like that. So
that was a failed staff.
Yeah, but Chad Morris is going to end up somewhere. I do think he's too good. I think he's too good of a coach. I just think he got caught in a trap at Arkansas.
He's horrible as head coach. So
yeah,
right?
But he was fantastic at SMU.
I think he has an overall losing record.
Yeah, but he was really good at SMU, and then you go to Arkansas and get caught up
Hold
in
on.
It. Maybe
I'm
going to
look this up, Trey Wallace.
The SEC.
Dating all the way back to 1989, John Chavis has been the defensive – Oh, in 89 through 94, he was the defensive line and the linebackers coach here at Tennessee. From 1995 to 2008, he was the defensive coordinator and the linebackers coach. Then it extended as LSU, Texas A&M, and Arkansas. He was the defensive coordinator and the linebackers coach.
He was D coordinator for 13 years. I forgot how long it was.
Trey?
Yeah, what's up, buddy? How bad was Morris?
He was 14-22 over three seasons at SMU. He did improve every year, but he went from 2-10 to 5-7.
Okay.
7-5.
Well, they must have thought highly of him to hire him.
Well, I mean, they were digging at scraps at that point. He got hired. How long has he been down there?
He got hired, a year and a half.
He got hired
Pruitt,
same
Taggart,
time.
Pruitt and Morris were all same class.
Wow. And there's a report out of Oxford today that Matt Luke is now safe, that he will return for his fourth season.
Have been in trouble? I feel like he's done a pretty decent job down there.
I don't think they're proving anything.
They
got kind of suckered in like the Ed Orgeron thing where he turned it a good year when he was interim. And then they were like, let's just make you head coach now.
But in their situation, though, I mean, they were under a lot of fire from the NCAA free stuff. So they're just like, we just kind of need to stabilize what we got. And it's like, well, at least Matt can keep this class together.
Right, but now he's going into his fourth year. You know what I mean? So you just don't. You don't see that a lot.
I mean, next year is his last year unless he's able to do something of merit.
Right, which I think next year is the last year for Will Muschamp at South Carolina, especially if they do an AD switch.
I mean, they don't beat Georgia.
Oh, if they don't beat Georgia, I think he's gone.
Well, I mean, you're staring at 3-9. What do they have? They have Texas A&M and Clemson left?
Yeah.
I don't see them winning either one of those.
Chance in heck to get those. It is what it is. I don't know.
He has already knocked off the number three team once so far.
There's spots that are going to be open, I think, after this season and then next year that I think would be pretty darn interesting when it comes to where it flows out. We're going to talk Tennessee football next. Tap in a little bit of Tennessee basketball as well. Rolling along here today, it's The Drive. I'm Trey. That's Davey. Jake, Bear. We're back on the other side taking your phone calls.
The Drive's podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group today at 865-566-0800. Applying for disability can be very tedious. Having an experienced attorney on your side makes it easy. Call Disability Advantage Group, 865-566-0800, or visit online at dag-us.com.
The best there was, and the best there ever will be. This is The Drive.
Rolling it back long here on The Drive on Fox Sports Knoxville Fan Run Radio. All right, let's get into the topic. Last night, the UConn women were in Nashville. They're playing the Commodores of Vanderbilt. And Gino was in the state of Tennessee and went in front of the press. You knew this subject was going to get broached. It was going to happen. You couldn't deny it. Joe Rexrode, Teresa Walker, Adam Sparks, all respected journalists for the Tennessean and the Athletic. Excuse me. They were there covering the game, and they started talking about Avena Westbrook and the denial from the NCAA. Bear.
Who is Avina Westbrook, by the way?
She was a player on last year's squad.
Okay. Tennessee, and she transferred to UConn.
Correct. She's the one that kind of came out after the NCAA tournament loss and said that we need to make some changes on this coaching staff, and there's a lot of stuff behind the scenes that need to be changed. She said that, like, to the media.
Yeah, I'm not.
So then she transferred to UConn. And pretty much last night, Davey and guys, Gino put Philip Fulmer on blast in the University of Tennessee for an unhealthy environment. Also accusing Philip Fulmer of pretty much turning his head to things that were going on in the women's basketball program.
Yeah, but I thought that I had seen a statement from the UConn athletic director saying pretty much the exact opposite.
Yeah, that's where the problem lies. That's where the problem lies. The AD and the coach are not on the same page.
And it would surprise me because Tennessee has been, as a university, because we've had to rely on transfers such as Brandon Kennedy, Juroš Blažević, we'll see if he gets eligible, and there have been a couple of others that
Aubrey.
they've kind of taken the approach, and it seems like Tennessee feels like no matter whether somebody's transferring away or transferring in, they feel like that it's best for the student athlete. They don't oppose them.
Here's kind of what's happened. Tennessee has not, at least anything I have seen, put forth any argument to say like, hey, there's a reason you should deny her waiver or whatever. The issue is Gino has come out and said that based off the information and how bad this program has been, Tennessee didn't help the matter. But if that's the case, then you're basically telling Tennessee that they need to say that their own program is in such disarray. Yeah, she should be able to go and play immediately, which is not going to happen. And I wouldn't expect any program in the country to do anything like that. Why would you go and say, yeah, this is a toxic environment? Like, what is that going to do for your team on the recruiting trail, especially when you've got a brand new coach coming in? And just,
yeah.
I mean, we've had issues before where it's like if you get into the national spotlight for a bad situation, we know what that can do to the program. So why would Gino's wanting to take shots. I'm sure it's been fabricated, some of the stuff that he's even been told from Westbrook.
And let's say, too, we don't know the whole story.
That is very true.
We do know that there were problems in that locker room last season in Holly Warlick's final year. That we do know. We do know that it's not like it's not like Philip Fulmer was all too invested in women's basketball when he first took over the AD job.
And let's be honest, he shouldn't have been. He had a lot of other bigger problems that when you're looking at funding this university's athletic department that he had to get straightened out first.
So then I have to wonder, Gino Auriemma last night was baiting Philip Fulmer to come out and say something today.
You think?
Like, I mean, but yeah, but like.
Like, I thought it was really, really.
Like, I'm so.
Like, I've never seen him do anything that, from a PR standpoint, that was that stupid. Because to me, what it came off like to me is that, I mean, are we playing them again now?
January 23rd at UConn.
Yeah, I mean, he's
games on ESPN.
What if he's kind of scared because, you know, Tennessee Lady Vols so far seem to have a little bit of their old swag back.
Well, here's the thing. I'll say this. Rick Barnes came out and said Arizona State didn't do a lot to help. They could have done a little bit more when it came to Euros. Gino's kind of doing the same thing, saying Tennessee didn't help as much, but he's trying to drag Tennessee through the mud in the process. That's where the problem lies. Like last night when I'm watching that, when it ended, I was like, wait a minute. If you're going to come out and you're going to say it's an unhealthy environment, that a program would get shut down if it was other schools like this, but then you say, well, I can't elaborate. I can't talk about it. That right there, that's kind of a BS move. It's like now everybody's going to try to draw conclusions on what's going on.
Yeah. And listen, like, Bear, going back to your point about him kind of saying anything like that before, I'll be honest, I don't really keep up with what this guy says. He's kind of irrelevant whenever I'm looking at the grand scheme of things for the world of sports that I follow. I mean, I know who he is. And I mean, I know what it used to be between the Lady Vols and the Huskies, but
used to involve a lot of Tennessee whipping UConn ass, and then he finally was able to.
Well, yeah, I mean,
turn the corner.
Hey, we're about to Bear. I'm going to pop in for a minute. It's not any kind of tracking news, okay? But I think you're going to be proud of your former intern, Parker the serial killer Pewitt, who just texts me and says, for what it's worth, I just saw Jeremy Banks walking around campus with a UT police officer. It almost looked like a ride-along type deal. I guess they've got that going now. Parker coming in big with some interesting news.
This is going to be the damnedest reclamation project I've ever seen, they've ever pulled over there. I mean, we've never had a player that was on a police camera running off at the mouth for an hour. I mean, you want to know the real reason I don't want him back? Is I think he's dumb. I think he's completely stupid because you got to be out of your gourd if you're over the age of 12 and you sit in the back of a police car and say the stuff he said. I mean, just completely.
Have we all been drunk and said something stupid?
I know, never in a million years would I have ever gotten in the back of a police car and said that. Just simply I figured they'd roll up somewhere on a dark road and they pull you out of the back and beat the crap out of you. Until, you know, you get to the station, they tell everybody that you were resisting arrest.
That's what body cameras are for. So that came from Parker. We'll talk more about that. I told Parker to go get a picture for me. So we'll see if that plays out. But getting back to it, Davey and Bear and Jake, last night's comments were, the appeal process is over with for them in UConn. So why come out and take a clear shot at Philip Fulmer if Geno didn't truly believe that Tennessee was not telling the truth and what was going on at the university?
I think that's basically what he was saying, don't you, Davey?
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm just trying to, like, think of other possible reasons he'd come out and just be that blunt about it.
Recruiting?
There's that. Like, I mean, I don't know, is he kind of scared right now that, like, Coach Harper is going to get him going to the point? I mean, maybe he's just trying to get – he could just trying to be getting the fire stoked to ramp up, like, the TV ratings whenever they end up playing in January. I mean, that doesn't sound very likely. I mean, I know he's never been fond towards the Lady Vols basketball program.
Yeah.
But, like you said, it's a cheap shot for him to just be like, oh, it's terrible. They'd shut other schools down if they knew what was going on like this. Oh, I can't talk about that. Sorry. Can't give any comment there.
Right. It's like, sack up, grab your nuts, and talk about it.
Yeah, either say something or don't say anything at all.
Gino Auriemma, to borrow a phrase from Bear, is a punk and a clown that would not be even relevant in today's sports world if it weren't for Pat Summitt and the University of Tennessee Lady Volunteers basketball team.
Yeah, Russ is right. He'd probably be a fifth grade gym teacher somewhere in Indiana.
Do you think Kelly Harper says anything back?
No, because Kelly Harper wasn't involved in it.
Yeah, she has no clue. I did think that was kind of weird because Westbrook made the comments about, like, yeah, we need the coaching staff changed, and then she really didn't give the new coaching staff an opportunity.
No, she already knew she was gone.
Yeah, she's just like, yeah, we need the new coaching staff. Either way, I'm out. Like,
none of it made sense. And look, here's the thing that Gino Auriemma is a great basketball coach, but a problem is that he likes to run his mouth a lot. And when he does not provide any kind of substantial evidence to back up his claims. Here's the thing. He said repeatedly last night, the NCAA hasn't told us anything. We don't know why the appeal was denied. Well, then he comes out and bashes Tennessee and says, Philip Fulmer, they could have done better. They could have said more. They could have helped out more. It was an unhealthy environment. Okay, so wait a minute. Wait. The NCAA doesn't tell you anything, so everything that you're going off is from Avina Westbrook and family and friends around. And I'm sure people in the women's college basketball industry maybe talk to Gino, and I get that part of it. But, man, if you can't prove anything right now, dude, you need to shut the mouth. Doesn't make sense. We'll take your phone calls, 865-546-8200. We're rolling along here. News out of NASCAR today that I think might shock Bear a little bit. I'll bring it up to him next because we're having Nick Bromberg on the floor. We'll talk about that on the other side. It's yeah, the drive.
Taint it.
Back on the drive, Fox Sports Knoxville Fan Run Radio. Real quick before we get into Tennessee football, Bear, Daniel Suarez lost his ride today. He is no longer with Stuart Haas Racing. He lost to 41.
I mean, the sport's dying.
Cole Custer taking his place.
I don't even know who that is.
Daniel Suarez will go down to Xfinity.
Hmm.
That's just big time news because it's Stuart Haas Racing.
I mean, yep. It's really not anymore. I mean, if a NASCAR race happens and nobody shows up, do the cars even make noise, Trey? Yeah, I don't think so.
The cars still make noise if people don't show up. I don't know where the hell that logic came from.
I mean, they're just the sport's dying.
No, I get it. Yeah.
Nobody wants to talk about it. I mean, it's just you used to be able to talk about it, but nobody, nobody cares for it. I mean, they've ruined it.
They have. In my opinion, a lot of things have been ruined. So, I don't know. Interesting news coming out of the racing world today. Well, I'll ask Nick Bromberg about it later. He'll give more context to it. All right, Tennessee football was on the practice field yesterday. They are off this week. They will take a lot of the players get to go home tomorrow and tonight if they don't have classes. Get to go home for a couple days, enjoy the family, take a little break, and then get back to normal on Sunday when they come back in town. Davey, I haven't heard your thoughts besides on the morning show of what went on at Kentucky and where do you think this team is sitting at on a Thursday on the 14th of November. Tennessee's 5-5 right now. What are your thoughts?
I'll be honest. We're going back about a month and a half ago. I never thought I'd be looking at this team with 5 wins. I didn't see how they would be able to eclipse or reach and now look like eclipse the 5-win mark from last season. I think with Missouri and Vanderbilt, your last two games of the year, there's really no reason you should not win out with what those schools are kind of dealing with right now. Now, I'm not saying the win going to Columbia and getting a win is going to be easy, but I think that it should be what should happen. We've looked at Vanderbilt, and we know that they are terrible. That's like really just the bottom of the SEC right now. So I'm happy that they've been able to kind of turn the corner. I mean, you ultimately should be looking at an 8-4, 9-3 type season based off the first two games.
That's what's going to piss people off even more.
Yeah, it's not ideal, but I mean, it is what it is at this point. Yeah. And so just the fact that you are able to hopefully end the season on a little bit of a run, hopefully you can use that momentum moving forward on the recruiting trail, hopefully land some of these guys that are a little iffy on some other places and get them signed during the early signing period, which is really, like, I mean, that's a month away from now.
Yeah, I didn't think about it like that. It is about a month away. Tennessee potential has some guys signing, and maybe they can cause a few upsets along the way, which I find interesting. Tennessee coaches have been on the road recruiting all week. Jeremy Pruitt was on the road Monday and Tuesday. He stopped in Memphis on his way home to speak to the – whatever it is, the quarterback club there, whatever, I don't know. And then, you know, T. Martin's on the road, Brian Niedermeyer's on the road, Chris Rump is on the road. You've had a lot of GAs at practice the last day and a half, 2 days, filling in. So you have to wonder now, Dave, Hubert, Jake, can Tennessee build off the momentum that they've established? And can Tennessee get a player like they got last year with Henry on the last 2 or 3 days? Where you didn't expect it, you thought you had somewhat of a chance, but you really didn't expect it.
Maybe Darnell Washington?
That's what I keep thinking. Like Las Vegas, there's, tight end.
At least with Henry, like I kind of heard things start to pick up at least a little bit at this time. I'll be honest, I didn't think you were going to land him.
Yeah.
So the fact that they were able to actually get him to commit to the Vols was pretty outstanding. Hell of a job by the coaching staff there. I want to be hopeful that there's one guy out there that's just like, all right, I see what they're doing. I see kind of, they hamstrung themselves earlier in the year, but they've at least rebounded. I can see the potential that is going on here. And, I mean, is Harrison Bailey, like, still able to kind of get some of those guys that were undecided and try to maybe sway them to being like, hey, come play with me next year? Now, granted, as far as the roster for next year, where I'm probably the most worried, defensive end, that edge rusher position.
Wide receiver, I think they're going to be fine.
Wide receiver, I feel better. I know, like, from a recruiting standpoint, it's not great, but you got to remember that.
You got Ramel Keaton. Palmer.
Brandon Johnson's going to be coming back, and Gibbs is going to be able to play.
Right. I mean, I like our chances a lot better if they. I thought we were dead in the and we were dead in the water a month ago. I'm hopeful that if we can, definitely if we could win out, I could see us pulling another robbery. I mean, anytime Niedermeyer's lurking in the bushes,
especially they're on the road right now in the middle of November. And what they're really trying to do is go see these guys playing their high school championship games or title games, wherever they're at. And that's why they're traveling so much right now, and because it's the off week. I'm not saying it's not because of that, but that is one of the situations where you're at right now. And I find it interesting, because the problem is you got some contracts coming up at the end of the year on coaches, and you got some coaches that are going to want extensions. I know two coaches that – don't want to go into next season with just that last year on their contract. They don't want to do it. And I don't blame them. You can't sell the university if you've only got 1 year left on your contract. It's hard.
I'm looking at Tennessee's 2020 schedule right now, and I mean, like, I want to be hopeful. Like, I'm like, hey, we're kind of getting some things going now, so it's can they make a run? I mean, year three. Is there a number you have to put on it for Jeremy Pruitt to
9-3
be like 9-3 to
8-4
get an extension?
Yep.
I mean, I'm kind of wishing, like, if,
because you move Florida back to November now, right? No,
Georgia's back to November. So you open the season with Charlotte. That game's in Neyland. Then the next week you go on the road to Oklahoma. Thanks a lot, Dave Hart.
1-1
I don't see any way in which you're pulling that one out.
I'm not conceding that one. I mean, hell, boys, it's only November of the year before. We don't know what's going to happen.
Well, no, I agree with that.
If Lincoln Riley's the coach, Tennessee's not winning that game.
I will say this, though.
Spencer Rattler's their quarterback moving forward.
If the quarterback from Houston, Derrick King, transfers to Oklahoma, then I'll go ahead and count that as a loss.
They're expecting Spencer Rattler to kind of be the next, like, Kyler Murray.
Right. Put some money on it?
It's too damn early to put money on.
What are you...
$20
$20 on Tennessee. You're wanting to put $20 on Tennessee winning that game?
Yeah.
I will take $20.
He bet me $100 on Florida, Tennessee. No,
that was an easy. That was just like name.
Sweating in the first half. Don't lie.
I will.
I promise you, I wasn't.
I'll take that money right now. We'll shake on it. All right.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm in here on wax.
They shook. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's pathetic. All right. $20. Go ballsy.
I'm betting $20 that, like, if Tennessee loses that game, that's definitely worth me giving Bear $20. All right, like, I'm buying my win here.
Yeah. It was gonna be worth it to give Trey $100, but I knew I wasn't. I just stopped at $100 because I didn't want to take any more of Trey's money.
Okay.
You offered me straight up Tennessee in the swamp.
Because you don't know how to gamble. So it was either straight up or me having to explain what my
I may not know how to gamble, but I do. But I have watched a lot of Tennessee Florida football in my life.
That's a good point. You're making a good point. All right. Who's Tennessee got after Oklahoma? Where does Florida fall into that?
We got Furman next, followed by Florida. Then that game's in Neyland. Florida, I don't know what their current situation will be at quarterback. Does Felipe Franks come back? Does he kind of get the. I mean, I don't really see their momentum slowing.
Hell, what's Tennessee's situation at quarterback? Does Garantano come back?
We don't know, but I mean, oh God.
Skipping over Furman on purpose? Or
I said Furman.
Nobody cares
about
him. Yeah, we're skipping over them on purpose. Corals.
Yeah, well, remember last time we skipped over an opponent?
It's Furman.
It was Georgia State, Trey.
Yeah, but Furman is a division lower
than.
Yeah,
that's FCS.
If we can't beat a bunch of high school
offensive
rejects.
Offensive coordinator genius.
They've got problems. Whatever.
But after Florida, you host Missouri.
That's good, though.
And I mean, they've got a lot of situations. I don't know if
Trayvon Robinson at quarterback.
Wait.
Sean Robinson. The TCU transfer.
The Boykins?
Boykin. Robinson went to Arkansas. My fault.
You're good. And then after you host Missouri, you go on the road to Williams-Brice Stadium. South Carolina, you finally got the Will Muschamp monkey off your back, finally able to beat him after all those attempts. Then you go into a bye week, and then after that bye week, you got Alabama Crimson Tide coming into Neyland.
I won't count that as a loss yet.
Then you go on the road, hopefully to the Butch Jones-coached Arkansas Razorbacks.
It's not bad.
It's kind of like another.
How much fun would that be?
It's kind of like another bye week, and if you're looking at it.
Unless he won.
Tennessee rolling out to into Fayetteville.
That's not a Matic Fireball offense if you lose to a Butch Jones-coached team. Like an actual coach team, like not like he's an analyst on.
I've got faith in him just completely.
People really want to see him back on the sidelines.
That
just
roster
to see
is
Tennessee fans,
atrocious
dude. Yeah.
In Arkansas right now. Like, I don't see how anyone can salvage.
Apparently, they're pushing
that, like,
him. I just
3 years.
Read an article, and his reasoning is he's the only candidate right now that's won SEC games.
Well, who are their other candidates?
I don't know.
Mike Norvell.
Would there be more
Norvell,
Tennessee?
I wouldn't go anywhere near there.
No. Would there be more Tennessee or Arkansas fans in the stands for that game?
It'd still be more Arkansas. I mean, like, Tennessee travels, but.
They travel a lot more to go see a Butch Jones coach Arkansas
team.
Yeah,
exactly. Team. Or maybe it
like,
could
that's
be
a terrible drive.
Gus Malzahn team.
It's a horrible drive. I did it from Mobile to Fayetteville. It was the worst. Going through those two-lane highways up through Mississippi and, oh, God, slept in a Walmart.
You throwing shade at Arkansas?
Near the Arkansas
as
Pine Bluff Walmart? No, not as a state. Talking about
far
the drive.
As, yeah, scenic ability, yeah, I'll throw it in as I'm taking shots at him.
The drive was miserable. The drive was like 14 hours for us.
Don't insult Cody McClure like that.
Well, nobody's insulting
the Cody Arkansas. Would
have
it.
Stop trying to start stuff.
But
it's
after
not that hard.
After you go on the road to Arkansas, you come back, start off November hosting the Kentucky Wildcats. Be curious to see if they play a quarterback or not next year.
Yeah, I don't know.
Nah, they will. I don't know. Did they get what's his name back?
Yes, Terry.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not
Terry Wilson.
Here.
What wraps up November?
Then you go on the road to Georgia.
Oh God.
Then you host in Troy, and then you're on the road at Vanderbilt.
Man,
to finish
okay.
off the season.
Wow, interesting. Month of November got a little tougher.
Yeah, I mean throwing that Georgia game in there definitely will. But
I'll throw the Troy game in there.
They beat LSU a couple years ago.
No, don't nah nobody.
I don't know, man. Like, the last time they
Troy's
came up here.
Troy's out here
like,
upsetting Nebraska.
Pruitt ain't getting caught by any lower team again. He's had his one. I don't think that'll happen again. I really don't.
I don't know. Like, those teams
he better not
always
get caught
keep
by
it close
Vanderbilt
here,
this
I'm
year.
Just, if you lose to Vanderbilt this year, that's a fireable offense, in my opinion.
If you don't get to six wins.
Yeah, if you lose
next
these last
year,
two.
Next year, you're on the hot seat. Next year could be your last. Not this year. I think Tennessee goes around firing a two-year coach.
No.
He's already proven
no,
enough.
But there will be a lot of people calling for his head if you lose these
oh,
last two
Oh, there'll be
games.
A lot of mad folks if he loses to Missouri. And
I think, I mean, it'll set you up really bad on the recruiting end, in my opinion, if you
blow
these last two.
Kiss anything and everything away in recruiting if you lose these last two. That's why it's important. Go on the road, take care of business at Columbia, come home. You're playing for a 7-5 year. It's senior day for all those guys. So we'll see. We'll talk more about that on the other side. Tennessee travels to Canada on Friday, tomorrow, to face Washington Saturday night. We'll discuss that on the other side as well. We're rolling along here on The Drive on Fox Sports Knoxville.
Listening to The Drive. Get some.
Back on The Drive, Fox Sports Knoxville, Fan Run Radio, as we wrap up hour number one, sitting here going through different scenarios for next year, but man, Tennessee's got to go to Columbia first, take care of business, and then they'll host Vanderbilt at home. Hopefully a lot of people show up for senior day. I'm sure it'll be one of the most emotional senior days that's been around in the last, I don't know, 5-6 years. Josh Dobbs is pretty, but, you know, Tennessee. When Juwan Jennings runs to the tee for the last time at Tennessee, they're going to be grown man in the stands, drunk as hell, crying. That's just a fact. Jake will be in the student section crying. That's just a fact. And you know what? The people that have covered that young man for 4 years and have seen him grow up might shed a tear or two as well. Young man's become a staple point for Tennessee
athletics.
He's
not dying.
No, it's interesting.
He's still going to be a. I mean, it is
get people that look. My philosophy on it is you get people that close with the program, and you've seen how much somebody can grow in 2 years compared to the previous 2 years, and he'll go down as one of the, I think, top 10 most favorite Vols, not top 10 players, top 10 most favorite Tennessee Vols of all time. Like, he won't be a guy that people forget in 5 years.
No.
Everybody's going to remember the Florida catch. Everybody's going to remember the Georgia catch. What are they going to do the first thing they think of those games? Juwan Jennings.
No argument here.
So that's where it plays in. And that's where we stand as of right now. Tennessee travels to Canada basketball on Saturday, coming off a monumental day in college hoops. A monumental day. Tennessee is ranked number 4th in the country in basketball recruitings. They're hanging out with Davey's friends, which is interesting to me. Davey, your thoughts on Tennessee's basketball class hanging close with your Blue Devils?
Oh, I love it. I mean, if you actually look at the numbers, I think Duke has 6 players that they've had signed, but the average recruiting ranking for each player, Tennessee, I believe, is actually 2nd in the country. They're even ahead of Duke on that level.
Jeez.
Kentucky's the only school, I believe, that's in front of them. And so, Keon Johnson, Jaden Springer, Corey Walker, they've all signed their letter of intent to play here. And so, I mean, you can't really even compare it to a class before, because this is by and large the best class that Tennessee's ever signed whenever it comes to basketball.
Yeah, because you didn't know what you were going to get out of some of these guys when they first signed here in the past.
It's true. And on top of that, I mean, Rick Barnes is earning that money, is third highest paid coach in the league.
I thought about it a lot less. I will agree this on paper is the best class, but we've still, each one of these guys individually is not, I wouldn't put them in my top 3 all time recruit wise.
What do you mean?
Like our all time recruits.
Are you saying like the highest rated recruits? Like
just the absolute best recruits that we've ever brought in here. I'd probably put it at Allen Houston, Bernard King, and
got to have a football one.
No, I'm talking just strictly basketball. Straight basketball. Bernard King, Allen Houston, and probably Chris Lofton.
Does Scotty Hobson rank up there, though?
Scotty was a 5-star.
Yeah.
Scotty wasn't Mr. Kentucky in basketball.
Yeah, but also wasn't Chris Lofton like a 3 or 4-star? And they took
Chris was a 4, I thought.
Chris was I think he was a 4, but again, Chris is the only Mr. Kentucky in basketball that ever left the state. Cost Tubby his job.
Yeah.
If you're looking at it as far as the rankings for players coming out of high school, the highest rated recruit in Tennessee history is Tobias Harris.
Yeah. I don't doubt that.
After that, I get what you're saying is like the once you've already seen these guys. Like,
right.
I get that. But yeah. I'm saying like just strictly when we're talking about coming out of high school, I mean, yeah, you can go back and look at players like, I mean, hell, Admiral Schofield and Grant Williams came in the same class. No one thought, hey, you got two guys that are going to be NBA draft prospects and really kind of
All-stars.
Help get some of the best players.
Yeah, but I think
games
no matter
Tennessee
where
history.
Bernard, Allen, and Chris went, they were going to be – they would have been All-Americans anywhere they went. They would have been 4-year starters anywhere they went.
No disagreement. But, I mean, I'm just saying, like, right now I'm on 24-7. I'm looking at the recruiting rankings and – Tobias 1, Scotty Hobson 2, Jaden Springer is the 3rd best recruit Tennessee's ever got. Keon Johnson is the 4th best recruit Tennessee has ever got. And
yeah, I mean, Bernard would be a one and done now.
And Corey Walker is the 9th best recruit Tennessee has ever had.
Corey Walker?
9th best. He's behind, I said Keon was 4th, Robert Hubbs at 5.
Hubbs is way overranked.
He was. You Josiah so? Jordan James at 6, Duke Cruz at 7, Ramar Smith at 8, and Corey Walker 9th.
I'd forgotten Ramar was ranked that high.
I forgot they gave Duke all that love.
Duke Cruz?
Yeah.
He was good.
Hey, he was good, but
he just had off the court issues.
Right.
Corey Walker ranked right in front of Tyler Smith.
Hmm. I always liked Tyler.
I don't know. What's your all-time what's your 5 favorite Tennessee players if you had to put them on a court together?
Basketball?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd go Wayne Chisholm, Chris Lofton, Bernard King.
Yeah.
Grunfeld. And probably...
Skylar McBee.
No. I mean, I don't know. That's hard because, I mean, for a university that's never made a Final Four, there's no logical reason
that's
to
because yeah.
we've had some of the best basketball players that have ever played came through here.
Ernie, Bernie.
As far as
Grant,
college
Admiral,
and the league.
Chris Lofton. Well, see, you leave out Houston.
No, I wouldn't take Admiral over Houston.
You know,
Allen Houston and Chris Lofton are two of the best pure shooters that's ever played in the SEC.
So Ernie, Bernie, Allen, Grant, and who? Lofton?
Ernie, Bernie.
Houston.
Allen
if
Houston.
You're going just strictly talent, I feel like you got to put Tobias up there.
Yeah. Maybe we can fill
out. That's a problem. That's the problem with one and dones.
Right. You can fill out a whole team.
Let's think, like, am I just basing this off of people I've seen? Because that's going to really limit anyone before the year 2000.
Probably. But the thing is that, I mean, Bernard King was just a freak.
Oh, I mean, I know. Yeah, like. You don't get your own ESPN 30 for 30 unless you got something to offer. I mean, Ernie and Bernie.
We'll continue this discussion late in the second hour. Coming up next, Christopher Smith. We've got the top four at four with Jake Lester. Be back on the other side. It's a Drive on Fox Sports Knoxville.